Hello, humans. You're here for the weekly Vine Down, the show where we talk candidly about lots of things, enrollment, admissions. And if you don't know me, I'm Emily Smith. I've worked with hundreds in colleges and universities on everything from CRM to student search. And if you don't know College Vine, we are like LinkedIn for high school students. We are a professional network where students join and they create full professional profiles in order to get recruited by colleges. Colleges recruit on the network by sending connection requests to students or vice versa. Students can send them to you. And only when a student says yes, a connection is formed and a super high signal inquiry is formed. And the connections are so high signal because a student is limited with the number of connections they can make, which is really different, like your crazy, diluted, and noisy email inbox, where students can just get a ton of stuff from a ton of colleges. And on the platform, we have 2.3 million students, thousands of high schools in our network, and hundreds of colleges recruiting here. One of them is the institution of our guest, Cindy Haney. Cindy, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
So, Cindy, we start always in the same way. Cindy is the vice president for enrollment at Lehigh Carbon Community College. And Cindy, we start always in the same way. Can you please share three key lessons that you've learned in your career?
Sure. I would say the first thing as a vice president for enrollment management and throughout my career, as I had teams report to me, is to take care of your team. Make sure they have everything that they need to do their jobs well so they can take care of our students and really listen to them. So I think that's my first one. My second one is always finding humor in the ridiculousness that comes every day to our jobs.
Truth.
And you know, it helps us maintain our sanity that way. There's probably nothing that we can't find humor in that we deal with every day. And then probably the last thing is nothing is ever easy. Be prepared for challenges. I know sometimes think, oh, we have a simple solution. Just go do this. It'll take care of the problem. And then in theory, it sounded great. And then when you go to implement, there's a million other things that go wrong. So I would say that those are probably the top three things that I've learned in my career.
That is awesome. I love that you included humor because that is a like a personal and very important value of mine. So thank you for saying that out loud. I don't think any other guest has mentioned humor. I think typically our guests like take that potentially too seriously. So future guests, remember humor is important. So Cindy, I am so excited for the show today because I think a lot of the conversations that I've had in the last couple of years with enrollment leaders, particularly enrollment leaders at four-year institutions who recruit both regionally and nationally, is that they're scratching their heads going like, we're losing traction in our local markets. I think some of that is likely due to students who are like now newly thinking that they can go further away from home post-COVID. I also think that's now sort of influenced by the perception and sort of a pushed down perception of favorability of higher education in general. But this is something that community colleges just crush at. And the two things that organize my thinking about community colleges is that typically the mission of community colleges is like college out to community, right? Like that the mission of a community college is to serve their regional community versus the mission of most four-year institutions, which is like, how can we serve our college constituents, which isn't looking at their local community at all. And the other reason why community colleges are so good at this is that you really have had to be all things for all people. You'll have traditional age students, you'll have adult students, you have students who are coming in to take one course, you're having students who come in order to transfer, and you are dealing with a complexity of use case and user that four-year institutions just are not. And I think because of this, like you're frequently trying to, you know, locate yourself in such a powerful position in your local community and deal with these different student types that have made you so good at this. And I think about this from like brand as the top of this down to all the way down to like how you build relationships in your local community. We're going to talk about all of that in today's show, but let's start with brand. Cindy, like at your institution, how have you built brand in your local market?
Good question. I would say that, you know, most community colleges across this country have been in their communities for 50, 60 years. Mm-hmm. And the name community is typically in the name of the college. So for us, we developed a brand and a logo that is very recognizable. When we've done market brand research, most people in our community know exactly what our logo is. It's a very colorful circle with LCCC in it. So when you put that brand out there on, we put them on buses in our community, billboards, in local advertising, we're in the high school materials. So just getting it out so people see it all the time, and right away when they see it, they know it's LTRIC that there is there to help them with all of their educational and training needs.
What about like engaging? So how much of that is you as the enrollment leader versus like institutional marketing that you're working with for that like big brand awareness?
A lot of it is our college relations and marketing team that mm-hmm. works on our branding, you know, making sure that our logos are used accurately in all of our mm-hmm. publications. But we, the admissions team, it's important for us to make sure that we have materials that we're handing out that look professional, that the students can find useful and have useful information in them to make good decisions about their educational journey. And how we put the information on, you know, swag, right? We want to make sure our swag is cool and something that students will be able to have out there in their high school while they're working, you know, wearing a sweatshirt, wearing a t-shirt that has our logo on it. Because as they're walking around, people see it, recognize it, and it just starts getting into people's mind. LTRIC is an option for me. So it's always good to have it out there on different materials that you know the students are going to use day in and day out.
Yeah, I think about that a lot in terms of brand. Like a lot of brand is repetition and just being out there with it. If you're consistent viewers of the show, I know we have many folks who watch every week. Hello, listeners. But if you watched the show a couple of weeks ago, we talked all about the brand index, which is a new material from College Find that actually helps colleges measure their brand. Cindy, we haven't even chatted about this yet, but any VP of enrollment out there, and like, surprise, if you're not a VP of enrollment, I'll totally hack the system so that you can get it. You can sign up for a free College Find account. You can go to analytics in College Find and grab the brand index, which will actually show you how your brand is being perceived by the millions of students who are on College Find. Because brand is hard to know, like how it's a lot of that is like based on feelings. Like, well, we think we're seen as this, unless you're doing really expensive brand studies every year, every couple of years, and that's really only describing the past. The brand index on College Find is a free material that we've created for you to like keep track of your brand across your competitors, yourselves. And that's just free for any college. So please do check that out. As I drill down into like, okay, so you want to be present as a school who's trying to win a local market or win back a local market or your local region, being present and being visible is really important. Part of it though is also like the programming and being compelling. And Cindy, I know this is something that like, okay, if that first part around brand is really around marketing communications and sort of that institutional comms group, where it comes to you and enrollment is really around creating and where you would work with your other institutional leaders would be around creating compelling choices for students. How do you think about that in your role?
Well, as a community college, I think our competitive advantage with what we have to offer students is our value, right? We're typically a lower cost option for students. We also provide students with the ability who are uncertain of what they want to do in their college career to come and test the waters. So we have plenty of opportunity for students to just dip their toes in. They can take their gen eds absolutely while they're here to transfer onto a four-year, but they can also say, well, I'm not sure, I might want to be an accountant, so I'm going to take an intro to accounting class. But they're not spending a boatload of money to do that. So it gives them opportunities. Some students who come out of high school are not academically prepared, so we help get them academically prepared for college work. So we have developmental courses that they can go through to get them math ready, right, you know, and English ready, so that they can be prepared if they want to go on to a four-year college or university. So I think we provide them with those different options to continue. That's why we're open enrollment. That's our mission, right? To allow those students to come to higher education without having the background or experience that they needed as a high school student.
But if I pull back from that, like what I'm hearing you say is, or what you're showing me in that answer is how well you know yourselves and how well you know your value. Because the items that you just lined up obviously aren't going to be true for every institution. But like, if you can't rattle off, like imagine you're sitting in your office and I asked you the same question, like what makes you compelling for your students, whether it's local students in your region or wherever you're recruiting. If you can't give an answer, like think about how easily Cindy just said, like, we do this, this, and this. We do these things really well. And we are very clear and crisp about our value proposition. We understand why it works and how to communicate it. I don't know that a lot of colleges can do that really clearly. And again, some of the things that we think make us different and special aren't actually the things that make us different and special in the eyes of the students. So pulling back from Cindy's great answer there is something I'm observing to like hear how clear you were about your value proposition for your local market, and how crisply you were able to like run down those things. Like we are this, this, and this, and here's what works. And if you're not clear about those things, those are the things that I would encourage you to work with your teams, your leadership, your, you know, the rest of institutional leadership to make sure that you're super clear on. So, okay, let's dive into like the strategies of like how you actually do it. And Cindy, as you and I were preparing, you were like, well, obviously I would go do X, Y, and Z to go build relationships locally. Obviously I would do this. And I'm like, hold on. None of the things that I think you just ran through would feel obvious to most enrollment leaders. So Cindy, talk to us like we're like fifth graders. Teach us how to build relationships in our local communities.
Sure. So for us, it all depends on what students you're trying to recruit to your institution. But our biggest feeders are obviously our local school districts. And we try to ensure that we have great partnerships with our local school districts. And that starts from the top down. Our president meets with all of the superintendents of our local school districts. And then, you know, the vice presidents tend to create those relationships with the principals of the high schools. And then our admissions recruiters establish those relationships with our guidance counselors. And then we bring groups of students from those school districts to campus for tours and career programming. We go into the high schools and provide workshops and sessions, not only to talk about LTRIC, but also to talk to those students about a college or academic or a career training program. So we're there for the community, not just in this one focus of we have to get students to enroll to LTRIC. Obviously, that's part of our jobs and what we want to happen, but also we're there to provide a service to our school districts.
Can we go back before you continue? Cause like, again, you're like rattling this stuff off. Like, yeah, we do these things. And I think a lot of like, I'm feeling the audience like furiously going, okay, relationship, president, superintendent, talk to me before we run through those things about leveling, those relationships. Like, let's dig into like why a president of an institution, cause this stuff can get political.
Correct.
And then I do want to unpack like that first half of the answer before we carry on. Cause that's so good.
Like I would never want to jump over my president's head and go directly to a superintendent of a school district. She establishes those relationships. And if you think about it, they work together on a very high strategic level to come up with initiatives that we want to partner with them. And then that comes down to the vice president level. So the principals and the vice presidents can work together on some of those initiatives. Sometimes the ideas come up from the bottom up. So sometimes the high school guidance counselors or the admissions reps come up with great ideas. But a lot of times we have to move those up the ladder to get approval from the school district superintendents and our president as well. So I think it's important to establish those strong connections, but then always work together and have clear communication up and down that chain to make sure that you get things going and working appropriately.
Yeah. And I don't mean to turn this into, I mean, I guess I'm about to, like a weird sort of competitive thing, but like if you're an enrollment leader at a four-year institution and you're hearing a savvy enrollment leader at a community college going like, yeah, my president has relationships with superintendents at schools. So do the superintendents in your local areas have relationships with your community colleges. And we all want to help each other. And yet we're all in competition with each other. Like if your institution's president doesn't have relationships with superintendents, like you're missing something. You're missing the ability to serve students and become the trusted partner. You're missing the ability to form these relationships at a strategic level. And this is available to you. I think the next thing you said, as we dig into that, is like, we go into the schools, and this is like the ways in which community colleges serve communities. We go into the school and we provide programming. Not only are staff members forming relationships with each other, but we are going into the schools to provide programming. And essentially, you are owning some of that like closure of the guidance gap to give students great guidance by saying like, here are your options. We are one of them. Like, you can trust LCCC for, you know, being like a good option for us. And yet, here are the other options that you can go and get. I think becoming the trusted advisor is a huge thing that builds trust with individual students. Okay, thank you. You are about to continue into sort of like, I think we are heading towards like workforce CBO stuff, but I did want to unpack that first half of the answer because it was all so good.
Sure. And I would say too, along with the, you know, the school districts, but also making those connections with your parent teacher associations from the school, school districts, parent groups, because obviously the parents and the guardians of those students are major influences on those students' choices for education. So if you establish those relationships, LCCC is a Hispanic serving institution. Mm-hmm. So sometimes that decision to go to college is a family decision. So if we establish those relationships with those parents in the community and tell them all that we have to offer, and LCCC is a safe place, a welcoming place, and that we want their child to come to us for their education, we build that trust with those parents as well. And then yes, the local career links or workforce investment boards, because they have plenty of programs for youth, teenagers, and then also adult retraining. So like you said, we're everything to all people in our community. So also helping adults who need retraining, and they can come back to the community college for that training. And usually there's funding that comes along with them. And also working with your local community-based organizations and encouraging all your faculty and staff at the college to volunteer. We recently partnered with Big Brothers Big Sisters, and we're asking our student athletes if they want to volunteer as a Big Brother Big Sister. And what they like to have happen is you get connected with a little, they call them littles, and bring them to sporting events on your campus. Love so, that. You know, the little gets to see what a college, basketball game is like. And then they can come onto campus for other events that we have. And then obviously building good relationships with your local legislators who can champion for higher education and opportunities for their own constituents in the area as well. And then also we partner with a lot of our local colleges and universities because of our strong transfer opportunities for our students. Mm-hmm. So, you know, don't forget, I mean, we know, and the data shows that students who complete an associate's degree when they transfer have higher graduation success rates at their four-year college or university. So if those schools want strong students, recruiting at your local community colleges really benefits you to get strong students in your freshman or junior class, because you're going to take as juniors. You're going to take all those community college credits. But, I think that's a lot of times, you know, people don't think about that, but definitely partner with your local community college for those transfer students. And now we also partner with a lot of our state schools for students who may not get accepted initially at that state school.
That's right.
And they say, come to your community college first. We get them ready and then encourage them to transfer back into that state university. So there's a lot we can do together to get the students and make them successful.
Yeah, I think spending time getting those articulation agreements right and then communicating them well to students so that they're clear on, yes, we will. I mean, like you said this as a stated fact, like, we will take all of your transfer credits, like, take the credits, like, work with your registrar for your institutions, please, for the love of God, like, take the credits, make it easy and make it clear for students. Yeah, that's another thing that I'm hearing from four-year institutions a lot in the last couple of cycles, like, well, we need transfer students. Like, we're really trying to get transfer students. And I have a couple of answers to that, which is like, okay, you need to recruit high affinity students who are going to be more successful, like, sooner. Like, transfer students is sort of like yield. Like, if you're struggling there, there's something wrong on the student success front. We know we're going to lose some students, but working with a community college and having those articulation agreements tight and well communicated is like super worth it, in my opinion. And going back to the thing you said before it, which is I love thinking about the littles going to sports games, but having making sure that you're inviting folks from your community to your events, because you as a college, but particularly for your institutions, you have a lot going on in your campus and you do a lot to invite your own campus community to these things. It is worth the time to invite local high schools, local students, local CBOs, local workforce folks into events so that they feel like they're already a part of your community. And I think in those relationships, like I'm imagining, you know, the superintendent and a president of your institution or, you know, some key high school counselors and your director of admission having lunch together. I think a great question to always be asking is, you know, coming to that meeting with like, here are three things that are coming up on our campus. What's the best way to invite your students is a power move to make sure you're consistently asking how to get those students in. And the other thing I think about that a lot of institutions aren't doing is that encouraging of students, faculty, and staff volunteering in the local community. That's something that I don't often hear about. That seems like a big strengthener to sort of that relationship and how you're seen across the community.
Agree.
Yeah. Again, like some of these things that you're going through is like, obviously we would do this, this, and this. Like, I just feel like the fervor of the audience right now, like furiously scribbling this down, like meet with superintendents. Okay. So let's talk about the other thing. I know you feel really compelled, Cindy, like you yourself are a visionary leader. You are not somebody who wants to do like status quo things. You really think a lot about like staying on the leading edge as a way to be competitive. And I'm curious if you can share with us some of the key strategies and mindsets that you bring in around like being better, being on the growth mindset, being on the leading edge, so that you can stay competitive. What are some of the things you think about there?
Well, I think trying things that are new and different and emerging. And I think when College Vine first approached us, we were like, oh, this is for a 4-year model. We're not usually in the competitive market. So something like this. And now with College Vine also using artificial intelligence to help us with, you know, establishing those connections in your app, I think is something that is new and different. Obviously, we don't have unlimited staff, so we don't have a million admissions recruiters to create those one-on-one relationships. But I think with AI, how it's growing, it can help build that relationship and connection with the student and the app to get them more interested in our college. So trying things like that, things that we wouldn't typically look at and say, oh, this is definitely built for a community college sector. Because a lot of times when we look at different marketing tools or whatever, they're more designed for the 4-year colleges and universities. But I say, try it all. Why not? What do we have to lose? Well, if we don't do it, we have students to lose. So we're trying to get students like everyone else across this country. And it's exciting and it's neat to be trying something new. I mean, we're trying AI in different aspects of the institution, and you know, recruitment is not going to be left out of doing that. So that's why we're taking these chances on these new initiatives as well.
Yeah, I think as long as you're bringing stuff in that you can measure and get an opinion on, right? Because like you have a couple of choices when you're thinking about like being on the leading edge, and this is true for any enrollment leader. And I watch this sort of like a gripped frozenness around like, well, I could try the new thing, but like I have to try the new thing. And it's like, yeah, you have to try the new thing, but like set a period of time that like in 2 cycles, you will be able to measure if these things are working or not. And with all of the changes that we've had around student search and demographic cliff, and now like sort of a trust in college cliff. All of these things are impacting and changing the things that we have to do. So staying frozen isn't a great answer. Moving in a way that you can measure results on is a better answer. And I know you also think about sort of like the ways you can think about and staying really like current and competitive on not just like the sort of bread and butter type of student. Like I know that LCCC talks a lot about like careers pathways out of various pathways out of the college, which have implications on enrollment. Could you talk a little bit about that?
So you mean our transfer agreements? Is that what you're referring to?
Transfer agreements. And then, yeah, like partnerships with career to talk about like outcomes of degrees, like to make that value proposition really clear.
Right. So, I mean, like I said, a lot of our students that we work with, our adult students, they don't have a lot of time. Like they're not looking to, you know, come back and because they have families to support. So giving them those short-term certificates that can get them in a career advancement or even a change in career to get back into the workforce, to start having a livable wage, to be able to support a family is very important to them. So at the community college level, we can create those short-term certificates very quickly for them to be able to do that. So again, that helps the adult population come back to school, get the training they need, and get right back there into the workforce again. So I think that's one of the things we do very well as a community college.
So programmatically, you're saying like we might offer different certificates or programs and you might scale those very quickly. Okay. So the corollary on the four-year side is like making sure that you've got the right programs, the right relevant majors, working with your faculty to determine like what majors you can offer that are actually good, sort of good investments for the institution.
Right. And being able to pull those credentials into the pathway to a bachelor's degree, master's degree, et cetera.
Absolutely. Yes. Yes. Super helpful, Cindy. Thank you. I can't believe a half an hour has flown by already. Cindy, as we close every week, I will ask you, because of all the doom and gloom and craziness that's happening on planet Earth right now, give me some good news. What are you excited about in the next 6 months?
So in the state of Pennsylvania, our governor is proposing a merger of the community colleges with the state institutions. And while it's a lot of change and a lot of it's just proposals right now and has to pass legislation, I'm excited to see what that could bring to our community colleges and how it will benefit our students across the state. We have a lot of students that are not served by community colleges or their tuition rate is different based upon where they live, and hoping to level set that to create some, you know, equality and level set students' tuition across the state will really benefit, I think. So I'm really interested in seeing how that all plays out. And I would probably say the second thing that I'm looking forward to is, you know, if the U.S. Department of Education actually gets all the federal student aid FAFSA rollout working, that will be great. Right now, everybody's struggling with that. So I'm looking forward to that happening. And then probably the last thing is vacation. I really am looking forward to that as well.
Where are you going on your vacation?
Actually, it's a girls' vacation and we're going to Siesta Key in Florida. So looking forward to that.
Oh, that sounds so good. I love that. I hope you have a great time. I hope there are like great weather, many seashells. Isn't Siesta Key known for seashells?
Oh yeah. It's beautiful white sand beaches. Lovely, lovely, lovely. Oh,
lovely, lovely, lovely. And far from the gray spring skies, occasional gray spring skies of the Northeast. Thank you, Cindy, for sharing that with us. Folks, thank you for coming to another Vine Down. We will be here every Thursday as we always are. You can catch me on LinkedIn. You can catch Cindy on LinkedIn. We will be here in coming weeks. We will talk so much more about AI. I've got so many good guests coming up this spring. So we'll see you in future Vine Downs. And please add me as a connection on LinkedIn. I love to hear from the audience. So folks, be well, drink water, stay well, and take care. Bye-bye.